Sounds good.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I am Michael W. Dean over here in Wyoming, and over there in Maine, in an equally rural place, we got Phil Warmoth. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, man?
I am well. Well, I'm doing well, but I'm also doing good. Like, you know, I do good things, so I'm doing good.
Doing good for the world.
There's your English lesson for the day, people. And you are a teacher, right? You're a public school teacher.
Yeah, so, right. So, you know that teachers have to earn money in the summer, right? Because we don't...
We're
notoriously underpaid, right? So, I do the cliched thing. I'm a house painter, right? That house painting saved my behind many times in my life. When everything else fell through, there's always someone that needs their house painted. Well, anyway, I started working with this stuff called timber oil. And actually, I had to go clear to Bangor to get some because it's oil-based material, so they're phasing it out. So I went around and I bought up all the stuff I could. And it's great. It's hard to work with, but the results are great. But anyway, to make a long story short, you know, I wear my painter whites, of course. You know, that's the uniform. And the stuff is like, it's the texture of water, but it's the color of blood. Ooh. So after working with that for a whole summer, you can imagine the palette on my shirt was pretty nasty looking, right?
Yeah. So back off the mic two about, things, about one, an inch there.
Sure.
Get a lot of teaching all hospital.
Right.
Go on.
Cool. Right on. So I walk into the grocery store, and one of the workers there came up to me and go, "So how's the other guy look?"
Said, like you killed somebody?
I said, worse. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't think anything about it, and I was running errands, and then I was at a different store, and a woman came up to me, and she said, "Well, that's blatant." And I'm, "What? Excuse me?" She goes, "Who'd you kill?" And I'm like, "What is up with this shirt?" I said, "I'm retiring this shirt because I was going to do it anyway, because after a good summer's worth of painting, you know, your clothes are so stiff they barely move." So,
well, they can move they move on their own.
That's a problem. Yeah, that's a real problem. So anyway, that was my painting story. Yep. So I had to prematurely retire my shirt. Haven't gotten any comments on the new one because I'm painting with blue paint.
It's like when a really good ball player retires, they retire his number.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Something happened with ball players this week, but I don't know. People are yelling at the president. I don't know what happened, man. Do you know what happened? I don't care.
Oh, you're talking about football?
I don't know. Something about prayer and kneeling and the flag.
Right,
and,
sure.
I don't
it's
know.
The protest. Yeah. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some drunken Irishman, commercial. Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I saw a local commercial where, because Kaepernick was the guy that really initiated the whole protest based on, you know, police brutality. And so he did a Nike commercial anyway. I didn't see it. But now all the people that are opposing his protest are burning their Nike shoes, right? So this one local business. Well, they're cool, man. They're saying don't burn them. Bring them in, and we'll give them to veterans and stuff. So I thought that was
cool. That's the Nike thing,
right?
Yeah. Burning them. I mean, there's a lot of rubber and plastic in them. I think that would, you know, it's funny. A lot of people burning them are probably people who are very concerned about their carbon footprint. And their pollution. But I think burning a Nike is probably puts as much crap in the air as driving your car for a week, I'll bet you.
Can you remember back in the 70s and 80s when they were burning burning LPs because of the questionable content? Can you imagine how bad that was?
And because of disco.
Right.
Or they just crush them with disco. Do you remember? You weren't there at that baseball game where they crushed disco records, were they? And there was a riot?
No.
You ever hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was, I think it was in Cleveland. I think everything with radio stations happens in Cleveland or Cincinnati. But it was some disco sucks kind of thing.
Yeah.
Something you would have enjoyed back in the day.
I would have.
I like disco a little bit, but you hate it. But so, yeah, there was something where they had there was a riot. Like people got so excited. It was like, you know, instead of bat day or whatever day at the ballpark, it was bring a disco record and we'll crush them. And they were, I guess they were environment, you know, they didn't want to burn them because, you know, you burn a few thousand vinyl records, you're going to choke the people in the stands. So they had a, they had a bulldozer and they were bulldozing them. And the people were so excited to destroy disco figuratively. I mean, people probably bought disco records to bring them, you know.
Right.
But
ironic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think I don't think that presidents ever really stimulate the economy, but I think the only way they stimulate it is by, like, you know, encouraging people to burn their Nikes and buy new ones to burn. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, yep. Make America burn shoes again.
Remember,
so, well, hang on. So there's still like,
back.
there was this riot, like the people ran out onto the field and they were, you know, they had the mini bats with them and they were bashing the records and a bunch of people got hurt and people ripped the chairs out and, you know, did like $250,000 worth of damage to this stadium. And a lot of people got hurt. A lot of people got arrested. And
bad scene, man.
So don't do that, people. Yeah.
Don't do that at home or anywhere.
Yeah. So what were you going to say? You got something there?
I forgot.
All right. So I got a list. I got a list of things. So I saved a pigeon.
Okay, cool.
That's the biggest news of the day. I saved a pigeon with my wife and I saved a pigeon.
I want to segue into that with a bird falling out of the sky because of my poem.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's a line, too, in one of your poems. I love that line.
Right.
I love the remix of The Last Shaman, too.
The Last Shaman, yeah.
Zen harmonic.
I do, too.
Microtonal remix, which we're going to talk about at length, about how the new direction of Biptunia.
Right on.
Biptunia. So that's our rock and roll group. We're a singing group. We're a talking group. Yeah.
Hey, world, the band's back together again.
It is. I don't know. I don't think it ever broke up. I think we just took like a 30-year hiatus. So
I think you're right.
So my wife comes home tonight. You know, she's a little late. She's like, had to work late, told me she's going to work late. A lot of times on Friday she does because they get a lot to do to, you know, keep the wheels of justice at the law firm churning over the weekend or not getting too far behind before Monday. So she worked about 45 minutes late and she comes home about 7 o'clock and I hear her walk in the door and I say, hello, hey, what's up? And she's like, hey, can you come here and help? I'm like, sure. You know, I figured she had, I don't know, stopped to get groceries or something, needed help bringing them in. I go out in the garage and the garage door is open. The car's out. Not in the garage. And she said, I need help saving a pigeon. I didn't even ask questions. I just was like, okay.
Went into action.
Yeah, went into action. Nice. Like, sounds like a good, worthy cause. And she reaches over on the bench and she picks up gardening gloves for both of us, hands me gloves. I'm gloving up as I'm walking out. And there's a pigeon stuck in the fence upside down by 1 foot between two slats on the fence, bleeding. Like with a broken leg.
Man.
And, you know, I was a little freaked out by it. It was flapping. It looked upset. You know, I care about animals. I have empathy for them. You know, I mean, I eat meat. I have no problem with hunting. None of that. But, you know, an animal in pain makes me a little sad or makes me want to help. So my wife and I just, we went out there. Yeah. And I said, what do you want to do? You know, we didn't just start grabbing at it. We had a little quick conversation, kind of like ER people would, you know, like, well, how are we going to get this guy's head out of this tree? You know, you don't just start pulling. So, and, I mean, the bird was, so it's a fence that's like an old kind of slat fence that, you know, I mean, you could break the slats apart really easy. And it's kind of old and broken anyway. And I was like, should we just break the slat? And she's like, no, I don't think we need to. And it might hurt it more. So she said, why don't you... So what I did was she suggested this and I did it. I had the gloves on. I said, do you think we should get eye protection? She's like, no, I don't think it'll attack us. So, and it did not. So I reached gently but firmly under its, not really its armpits, but the other side of its armpits, like kind of its shoulders over the wings and just held it. And she pulled the slat, one of the slats on the fence toward her and kind of nudged its broken, bleeding foot leg up through the slat until it got away. And then I just set it down on the ground. And it's funny because when it was flapping until we walked up and started doing it, and it either went into shock or it, like, you know, of fear, or I think it knew what we were going to do. Like, you know, like I've been sitting here for who knows how long, half hour, hour, 2 hours, flapping and breaking my leg, trying to get out of here. And, okay, let's try something different, you know? So we got it out, we set it on the ground and, we looked out there an hour later and it was still there, but its wings were fine. So I think it flew away. I'm going to check in the morning unless some cats got it. But And DJ says she has seen a one-legged foot, you know, one-footed pigeon before. So I think it can survive this, maybe.
The prognosis is good. Yeah.
And even if it does die, it had a better last few hours than it would have hanging upside down and struggling, you know? Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. I find my empathy for animals is being tested. I painting for some people that have free range chickens, right?
Yeah.
And I'll have to send you a picture of this rooster. He's got an attitude, man. He's too cocky. And hope I can say that.
No pun intended. Well, he is a chicken.
Exactly. Right. And he's one of those Chinese game rooster things.
Oh, the pretty ones?
Funny hairdo. Yeah.
Yeah, the hairdo. So, the mohawk. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I have to like strategically plan for everything that I will possibly need for my truck, because if I go out, he's going to attack me, right? And my friend's wedding, I was talking to somebody, because chickens are a big thing around here. I don't know about there, but I was talking to a woman, and she showed me a picture of where she got clawed by a rooster, and it was nasty looking. So anyway, because they have those spike things on the back of their legs and stuff. Yeah. But anyway.
Spurs.
So, spurs, that's it. So, you know, I'm talking to a coworker of mine who has like 20 chickens, and I'm telling her this story, and she goes, what you got to do is you got to like jump up and down and put your arms out and show it that you're the boss.
Dominant.
And that you're bigger than it. Yeah, you know? I said, the last time he attacked me, I just took the top off my tote and blasted him, man. I felt bad about it, but man,
took
it was
either
me or him.
Took the top off your what?
Right? A tote, you know, like a plastic bin, you know, and it was yellow. He didn't like that. So if he left me alone for a little while.
Oh, you mean you just scared him with something yellow, or you threw it at him?
I batted him with it, man. I just slammed him with it because he was intent on doing me bodily harm.
Self-defense. It's okay.
Absolutely. Yep. So the last time I was there, sure enough, here he comes. What he does is he runs underneath the truck and he ambushes me. I can't see him coming, right? So he started to do that, and I had just enough time to jump up on the tailgate, right? And I said, I'm standing there. What the heck? Yeah. I'll take my friend's advice. So I'm up there flapping my wings, and I'm like giving him some screams and hollers and stuff. And he just kept cocking his head and looking at me. And, you know, it kind of worked.
You won.
I did. But we'll see.
You're the alpha chicken now. You're their leader.
I think I need a funny wig to wear with the thing sticking up in the middle. You know?
Well, you know, but birds, a lot of animals, but especially birds, are notorious for what's called imprinting. Do you know what that is?
It's where, I'm not sure. No.
It's where the first thing that's alive that moves that they see after they're born, they think is their mother. Like, you know, if a chicken's born and the mother's not around, the chickens will follow you around. Same with puppies. Same with... And I used to have a joke because when I went to 12-step meetings back in the day, NA and AA, I saw this thing happen a lot where like dudes who were not that attractive, who were older, who had a lot of time sober, would end up being boyfriends with younger women who were really pretty, who kind of looked out of their league, but were like just new to recovery, you know? And I said that was like imprinting. You know, they'd come out of their drug haze, and first thing they'd see would be some, you know, wise old biker hippie dude who has a lot of recovery, and it would just look beautiful to them. Like, you have what I want. And I had a friend who did that, and, you know, some like 50-year-old dude that was dating some 24-year-old girl. And, you know, like they were engaged, you know, and she had like 3 weeks sober. They got engaged. She moved in with him on day two or something. And he bought her a diamond ring, and she ended up relapsing and pawning that diamond ring for dope.
That's rough.
So,
that's,
you know, and I mean, a lot of people, it's actually called 13th stepping is in the 12-step program when you date. Especially if you're dating newcomers. You know, people look at it like it's bad for the newcomer. No, it's usually bad for the old timer. I mean, that was an extreme example of it being bad for the old timer, but yeah.
Right.
Imprinting people.
Yeah. So, I was doing a radio show right after my book Venus Remembered came out. And
Like a radio station in your area? Like you went in the studio?
Yeah, it's a local community radio, yeah. So it was pretty cool.
Today on Delicious Dish, we have local author Phil Warmoth reading from his newly released chapbook, Venus Remembered.
Yeah, you know what, like that? Man? That's pretty close. Yeah.
They all sound
and,
like that.
Funny thing, there's another guy. He was a poet too, and he kept calling me Paul. I'm like, what, man?
Paul.
Get it right, Paul. I get that a lot. I've been called worse, though. But anyway, so after the show, you know, after the show, whatever, I ran into one of my friends, and he said, hey, man, I heard you on the radio. And I said, yeah, what'd you think? And he said, well, he said he was working in his shop, and I guess the garage door was open. And he said, I was reading one of my poems, and all of a sudden this bird just fell out of the sky, dropped dead right in front of him.
Oh, man.
And I said, wow, man, I said, I guess my poems really aren't for the birds.
Wow. Is that where you got the line in the poem?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the line? Recite a little bit. Drop some verse.
I got to try to remember now. Something like, my words make birds fall from the sky.
Yeah, that's it.
That kind of thing.
I like it.
It was cool. So I got to make a, kind of like what you did. I took a kind of negative thing and made it positive. At least did the best I could with it.
Wait, when did I do that?
One more quick bird story with the pigeon.
Oh, by saving the pigeon. Well, now I'll have to write a song about the pigeon. Although we're making media already about the pigeon. I'll probably just cut some of that into a song. Yeah.
So I got one quick turkey story and then we can move on because we
this show's for the birds.
Talking about birds. I think that's the name of the show. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
This show's for the birds.
So my wife and I both revere animals as well. And so we have a house that's like 8 feet from us, and we face the busiest road in this area, but we have solid woods behind us, right? So we usually get a flock of turkeys pretty soon we'll start seeing them again. And so we feed them. We had bird feeder up, and we feed them and stuff. And so one day I was at work, and my wife called me, and she never calls me unless something really, you know, something's going on. And she said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? And she said, this camouflage pickup truck showed up, parked between our houses, right? So there's barely enough room for the guys to get out. These two guys are, like, sneaking up to the tree where all the turkeys were, and they were going to blast them with shotguns, man. I'm like, what is
By
that
your
all
house?
About?
That's crazy.
So, yeah,
like a
in
foot
my
from your house? 5 feet from
yeah,
your
well,
house?
Yeah, well, it was pretty close. Yeah, man. And
were these strangers or your neighbors?
They were total strangers.
Wow.
I mean, they
that's
probably
a good way to get shot, you know.
Yeah.
Not by you necessarily.
So she ran out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So she ran out and flapped her wings and scared him away. Man, it works.
Who did?
That thing works. My wife. Oh. She didn't even have her shoes on.
Did she really flap, or she just said, get off my property?
I can imagine she was pretty fired
get
up.
Get off my lawn, you kids.
You
dag-bum kids.
It was the same winter, and one morning I got up and I headed out to the truck, and I look, it felt like something was looking at me. I look up in this birch tree, and there's a turkey hanging upside down, dead. And what had happened, I can't really imagine what happened, but it's one of its feet got caught up in the crotch of the tree, so it was just stuck there, but it was dead, right? And I'm like,
that's kind
oh,
of
no,
like
man,
this pigeon, man.
Yeah, it's weird,
it must
man.
Be a thing birds and do. Oh, so you have a line about that, too, about something in the crotch of an old bird tree, dead bird.
Yeah, that's part of the poem, too. Yeah. Moss from the crotch of a dead birch tree. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so my wife would have been really upset if she saw that. So I'm like, well, I got to do something. So I actually had to get it was just out of reach of my ladder, too. So I had to get creative. So this thing went on for like about a month. I tried everything I could possibly do, including trying to saw the
limb
branch off, but I just couldn't reach it. So finally I said, I'm just going to just grab that thing, pull on it, and hopefully, because it's been there for a while, you know. I did, and this, like, it just turned to dust, and, like, it went in my face, and I ate it, man. I ate turkey, and I'm a vegetarian, man.
That's in the
month-old dead
song.
Turkey.
That's in the song, too, isn't it?
I don't know. I can't remember now, but... And the thing, I still didn't get it after that. And I said, you know what? You win. And eventually it just kind of disintegrated and stuff. But I bet you if I look up there, there's still a claw up there.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's some good voodoo mojo stuff right there.
Yep. Yeah, you're a vegetarian, but you don't dislike guns.
No, I don't see the connection.
I don't either. I mean, I don't even see the, I say the tagline for the Freedom Fiends for a long time was anti-war, pro-gun. which just baffled a lot of people, which is kind of why we used it, but it was accurate. It is accurate.
Yeah, and we're not the kind of, like, you know, people that go around, you know, getting people's faces about eating meat. Humans are supposed to eat meat, and as a matter of fact, when we first started it 20 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing, so I didn't take B12 for a while, and it ended up messing. It messes up the sheath on your nerve and or your nerves and stuff. So
if you don't,
but humans
B12.
Are supposed to eat meat. Yeah, because you only get it in meat. That's the only place you can get it naturally. So
there's a cat chewing on my beard right now, or on my scruff. Nice. Yeah, he's sitting on me. Like, I'm talking to the mic. I'm leaning back in my chair. He's on the table in front of me, like at a 40-degree angle on my chest. He does this all the time. And then he climbs up, and, like, if I haven't shaved in a few days, he'll start chewing on my whiskers. And then he'll dig at my chest like he's trying to get inside my heart or something. It's weird. Like the same thing he did, cool. You know, when he saw the pigeon sitting out there after or flapping tonight. You know, he'll claw at the window. He'll get up on his back legs and claw at the window. Your cats do that?
Yeah, our cats do that all the time. Yeah.
So why are you a vegetarian? Is it health reasons or animal reasons or both?
Both. Really, it all came about. I don't know if you knew, there was a big turkey farm in Jamestown, and that ended up being my first job because I bought this 65 Buick LeSabre from my cousin and found out that the frame was made out of 2x4s. But
what?
I needed $100.
Wait, yeah. What?
Tell
me that story first.
Look up 65 Buick LeSabre 4-door. The thing was a boat. It was so big.
Like they rolled off the production line made of plywood?
No.
Or your cousin?
He did it. Like
he did it?
He ripped me off so bad.
That's what I thought you meant.
Like because it was my first car, right? I was, you know, $100 for a car. I'm like, I can do that, you know? It was two-tone blue.
Run?
It ran. Yeah, it ran most of the time. And so I got a flat one day, and I went to jack it up. I couldn't jack it up. The frame was completely gone. It was just 2x4s laminated together. And I'm like, what is this?
What did he sell?
But it was my dream.
Did he sell the frame for drugs and replace it with a... I don't understand. It seems to me it would cost you more money to do that to a car than to just sell you the crappy car. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But so anyway, where was I going with this story? So
Jamestown turkeys. Vegetarians.
So there you go. So
Turkey.
I got a job working at this turkey farm, right? So my first duty was to go up into this barn that had thousands of turkeys running around and grab two, take them down the stairs, put them in the truck, and then we trucked them over to the where they were slaughtered, right? Well,
Two at a time. I was
shocked because the turkeys were all white, man. I didn't know that turkeys in captivity are white.
Yeah.
It was weird. So the guy shows me how to grab them, and you got to sneak up on them, and you just take their feet out from under them and hold them upside down. So you're walking through the barn with these flapping
turkeys
on both sides trying
to,
like, split you in half.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what was in store for me after that. But so I get to the slaughterhouse, and what I don't want to get graphic, but it was really nasty.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted that car. I needed the money. So the first day I was like, I can't do this. But, like, I convinced myself I could. So the next day they put me in the gut bucket room, and that was really disgusting. Ugh. Because, you know, like how you buy a turkey for Thanksgiving and there's giblets and guts, like, up in the bag. They shove it back up in the bird. Oh, well, I had to separate the guts. There were these giant buckets just full of turkey guts, and I'm separating them out, and I'm like, you know, man, Thanksgiving came around, and that was it for me. No more meat. I didn't care how poor I was. If someone offered me a hamburger, I wouldn't take it, man.
Is your wife a vegetarian?
Yeah.
Was she when you met her?
No, we decided we made a...
You told her that story, and she became a vegetarian.
Yeah, so we both said let's try this, and we've been doing it ever since. So
you know, in my cool. Did you ever read my novel Starving the Company of Beautiful Women?
I haven't read the whole thing.
Yeah, no. There's a friend of mine in that, and this is a true story. I had a friend in Oregon who did the same job, but in a chicken factory, not a turkey factory. Mm-hmm. And when I saw him on tour, I was like, oh, how you been? We stayed at his house. And he said that he was about to quit this job. He'd been doing it for like a year and a half, and he said he was having dreams every night that like chickens, giant chickens were chasing him. That was his recurring dream every night.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
What is it they say? Like, sausage is great, but you don't want to see how it's made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read chapter 14 of The Jungle. Yeah.
Oh, by Upton Sinclair?
Yeah. Yeah. the utopianist.
I've never heard anyone quote it verse and chapter, but yeah.
He was it's brutal.
He was a good guy, but he was also a socialist, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah. Back then, it was like that was what the enlightened people did 100 years ago because they didn't know better, right. You know? But now. Now the cavemen are now the people who aren't very smart and forward thinking, I think, are the socialists. I mean, because you look at things like Venezuela, you know, it's collapsing. I mean, you could say it's communism, it's socialism. I think they're just different points on the same continuum. People will say, no, they're not. They're different because no, they're the same. And, you know, Venezuela right now, like people are raiding zoos to eat the animals because they don't have any food.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the army is like, there's a video online of someone, you know, like people are so hungry. There's a video of people, like 10 people beating a cow to death with stones and then ripping it apart with a knife. In someone else's field too. And the cow's really skinny too, because, the communism diet, everyone loses weight.
Man.
Except the leaders. Yes. Leaders never go hungry. So, yeah. I got a segue to something about a flat tire.
Sure.
You mentioned flat tires.
Yeah, right.
So my wife goes to the bank the other day, make a deposit. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to, like, if you don't want to get out of the car, you have to drive, like, really close to it. It's really a badly designed ATM. Not going to say the name of the bank. See, it's a prominent bank in Casper, Wyoming. But that's all I'm going to say. You'll figure out why I'm not going to say it by the end of the story. So she's pulling up like she's done, you know, 100 times in the past 10 years or more. And when she's pulling away, she hears her tires go, her front left tire just shredded. And she pulls away a little bit and gets out. And there's these like new construction bolts sticking out, like 6 or 7 of them sticking out of the cement that they've refurbished or something. They didn't cap them and they're sheared off, like, you know, they cut them off with a saw or something,
right.
But they're sticking out like 5 inches, and it's crazy, you know. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. That's somebody getting injured waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And so you know, she emailed me about it, told me she's, you know, gonna be late, had to wait for the tow truck to come. You know, they put on the little donut tire for her. I mean, I would have gone and helped her, but we have one car, and it's like just a little too far for me to walk because I'm disabled. It's pretty close, but it's, you know. So, So she calls, you know, we have the free roadside assistance. She calls, too. They got here pretty quick, and they, you know, put the donut on for her, and she drove it. And now she has to, like, go deal with that. She was driving the donut for 2 days because she took the tire to a tire place to have it fixed, and they didn't call her back. Blah, blah, woof, woof. So I guess tomorrow she's going to go get the tire and have them put it on. But so I was livid. I was like, man, I want to write the bank about that. And I didn't want money. I thought maybe they'd offer to pay for it, but I'm like, they probably won't. Yeah. But, you know, if nothing else, we should alert them of this hazardous situation where somebody's going to die, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I emailed them through the interface for the online banking, you know, like the send them an email. And I got to say, this bank, like, it's so rinky dink. Like their website barely works, you know, like it. I log on and it immediately logs me off. So I have to log on 3 or 4 times. I called the tech guy at the bank one time. It's like a small bank. There's like 3 branches in town, maybe one in another town, but maybe not. You know, it's not a chain bank. It's a local bank. And you know, I actually, like, they put me through, like, directly to their IT guy, and he didn't know what he was doing. I'm smarter than he is with internet stuff, and I'm not qualified to be an IT guy except for myself. And it was everything's, you know, everything's broken on their stuff. Like, it doesn't work. But so I wrote them through the interface, like through the interface you'd use to contact them about, like, a problem with billing. But I just sent it and, you know, said, like, made it to, directed it to, there was no way to direct it to anybody. It was just like, what is your problem? And there was other, and I said, you know, this is for the building services department. And so I didn't hear anything back for a couple days. And then I wrote him again and said, hey, I haven't heard back from this yet. A couple hours later, at work, my wife gets a phone call. You know, I put both our numbers. I guess they called her first. She gets a call at work from the president of the bank.
Wow.
Not a VP, like the actual president. Like, she knows, you know, their law firm has done business with somebody. Like, because of her job, she knows that this was the guy. So he told her, I guess he thought we were going to sue him, which we had no plan to do. The only reason I wrote to them was I thought maybe they'd offer to pay for it, but I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it, and I wasn't going to push it. But I really just wanted to let them know about the hazard, you know. And I would have been happy with is an apology and we'll fix this immediately, you know. Like, thank you for letting us know. Like, even without offering to pay for it, that would have, I mean, she lost work over this too, you know. I mean, she's out the tire, but also, you know, she sat there for 30-40 minutes waiting and then had to go leave work today and then leave anyway. So, and she's gonna have to go tomorrow. So he said, you know, sorry to hear about that, but there's nothing we can do about it. We can't fix it. And he said, you know, it's probably our fault that it happened, but we can't fix it, which is like a legally crazy thing to say. Like, you know, first of all, like, admitting guilt, then saying there's no way to fix it. Like, this is a bank with millions of dollars, you know, they could fix it in an hour if they wanted to. They really could.
Right.
They have people there that have the tools to do it. I'm sure they do. Any big building does. Or if they don't, they could, you know, he could tell his secretary, hey, get someone over here to fix this afternoon. So, but he tells her, you know, it's our fault that happened. You know, I know, but, and then he said, but we're not going to pay for it. And, oh no, he didn't say we're not going to pay for it. He said, but you know, you damaged our building.
What?
Yeah. Which we don't think she did, but if she did, it's the fault of this thing, of this situation.
It was cause and effect.
Yeah,
exactly.
So he was, you know, basically he was trying to do that thing that corporations do where they preemptively, like, threaten to sue you back without even saying it, you know? Or sometimes they actually threaten to sue people back when they even bring up anything like that, of any kind of corporate responsibility, you know? And it's like, really, does that have to be how the world is? It's weird, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that's my bank story.
Yeah, I can tag onto that with a flat tire. So that reminds me of the story that happened to my wife and I when we were traveling across country. We had
solving
the
mysteries in a van.
Yeah, well, it would have been better if it was a van because we just had the Firebird and there was not a lot of room to carry all our earthly possessions. But anyway. One of the things I wanted to make sure of was that we had a full-size spare tire, right? Because we're going 3,500 miles. Stuff could happen, right? So tell me if I've already told you this story. I don't want to be the weird uncle at the family reunion every year that tells you the same thing all the time. Okay. So we had to, like, be really careful, very mindful of what we were packing and how we were packing it. So anyway, we're out in the middle of South Dakota. No, barely any traffic. All of a sudden, flat tire. So I said, no problem, because before we left, I went to a junkyard and I got a rim and I had a new tire mounted on it. Right. So I said, I was kind of like, you know what? I knew this was going to happen and I got it. Right. So we're on the side of the road, had to empty out the whole back end, jacked it up, went to go put the tire on and it wouldn't fit, man. I could not get the bolts to line up with the holes. And I'm like, wait a minute. I looked down the rim. And it had the imprint of Ford stamped on it. And I'm like, I went to the junkyard and I told the guy what kind of vehicle we had. He gave me the wrong rim. So I put the donut on. Not really supposed to travel more than 40, 50 miles on the thing. I think we went about 70 before
I've gone 200 somewhere. My band Bomb on tour, we went 200 on one once.
Wow.
You just can't go fast. You got to go like 40, 45.
Yeah, we're kind of going in the, on the donut, the slow lane there. Right. Yep. Yeah, and then another time we were coming, we were moving from the West Coast to the East Coast, and we had all six of our cats with us, and we got caught up in a snowstorm in South Dakota, and it was bad, and Firebirds are front heavy. There's nothing to the back end at all, so they're really bad in the snow. And so it was just brutal. There was nowhere to turn off. There was no option. You had to keep going. Finally, we found a somewhat of a civilization, and we found a motel, and it was like filling up. I mean, the place was just packed. We managed to get a room, and we had to smuggle each cat in individually because, of course, they had a policy against animals. But, yeah, I'm sure there's some great security footage of that somewhere out there.
I have a cat story about hotels. So when DJ and I were moving, we were moving east also from California to Wyoming. You don't really think of that as east, but it is. It's northeast.
Right.
We brought our three cats, and we actually did. We actually found places. Like, I researched this really well. We found, so we took two nights, 3 days to get here. We really took our time with it, so we didn't have to push ourselves. You know, rented a 32-foot truck. Turned out it was way bigger than we needed. Like, we could have gotten the 21-foot one or something, but, you know, it was almost empty. It was like one of those things. Even with a lot of stuff in it. We had a lot of stuff. We had a lot of furniture, but those things are huge. And, you know, we hired pros. We did it smart. Like, I don't recommend people hire movers to drive them across the country like that. It's really expensive. And a lot of times they do this thing now where they rip you off. Like, they get you there and hold you at almost gunpoint to, you know, like, we don't unload your stuff until you pay this extra $1,000 fee, you know. But so what we did, this is the smart way to do it, is you hire people on each end and then you drive it yourself. So we hired, you know, three guys for 3 hours to come pack it, and paid them $20 an hour, and then tipped them $20 each too. So to pack it up, and then on the other end, we did the same thing, you know, hired people to unpack it. Yeah. And you can actually get people like that too through the UPS or the U-Haul rental place sometimes. But, you know, they, like it says on the side of those trucks, an adventure in moving. I remember when I was like 18, I was hanging out with a friend of mine. We're standing on the street corner smoking cigarettes, and one of those goes by, and he's, an adventure in moving. And he said, you know, when I move, I don't think I want it to be an adventure.
That's right.
A good point. So this cat adventure. So we actually found places where you could have cats in a hotel, and also you could smoke, because we smoked back then. It's that narrows you down to like the worst junkie hotels,
right?
Really, you know,
yeah.
But we stayed in them, and we brought the cats in. We actually got separate rooms because two of the cats didn't really get along with one of the cat in small such, you know, like in a situation like that, like they would be up fighting all night. So we got separate rooms next to each other. You know, she takes the two cats, I take the one cat that likes me but doesn't like the other cats. And so the first night, the cats that she has crawl inside the box spring. Like, they found a hole. They were scared from traveling, and they crawled up in there. Yeah, we had to, like, flip it up and rip the fabric off of it to get the cats to come out the next day. And then, so here's a tip, too. Another tip for travel, news you can use. So if you ever have to do that, like, what we did, too, was we towed our car behind this thing. And, you know, we rented a trailer. We had them hook it up, so it's hooked up right, the trailer. And then we towed our car on it. And we put the cats in the car, in cat cages, like the two that like each other in one big cat carrier, and then the one in another cat carrier. And then going across the desert, it was so hot, we had to like open the windows on the car a little bit. And then, but the cats were just, like, the noise was just freaking them out, and just the travel and the motion, and they got motion sick, and they threw up, and so one of them threw up. But here's what we learned. So we, in each cat cage, we put like a little litter box. We took like a, you know, lid of a shoe box and put cat litter in it about an inch thick. And then we also had a a thing of water, and then a thing of food. They didn't touch the food, really. What we would do, actually, is when we'd stop, I'd get in the car and then feed them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd go in, shut the door, then open up their door, let them out in the car, feed them, and then put them back in the thing so they couldn't escape.
Mm-hmm.
But the... So the water spilled into the kitty litter, which spilled into the food, which basically turned into concrete and got caught in the cat's fur. So the second night, the second night, we just we bathed the cats in the shower, mm-hmm. in the hotel.
And we know how much they love.
They
that.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, people don't have to bathe cats. Like if they get sprayed by a skunk, maybe. And then you have to use tomato juice. But, you know, like in 10 years of having a cat, you know. If they're indoor cats, you might have to bathe them once mm-hmm. or twice, maybe. So, yeah, mm-hmm. so this stuff just got stuck. It was like cement. So what we did for the rest of the trip was we just gave them water and nothing else mm-hmm. in the thing. Yeah. And then we, you know, they pooped a little bit in there, but, you know, covered it with newspaper and shredded newspaper. But, yeah, you really don't need to put everything in the cage when you're driving cross country. And also... Next time I would recommend going to the vet and getting some kitty tranquilizers. We did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I remember I had this friend in LA who lived downstairs from me, and she died of cancer, which was really sad. And she had two cats, and her parents came and were like there when she died. It was really sweet. And then mm-hmm. you know, came from Canada, and they took the cats back with them. Like they were flying back to Canada, and I was hanging out with my friend who was friends of theirs too, was Martin Lenoble, who was the bass player in Porno for Pyros, which is a, you know, best selling band from 20 years ago. And he was in recovery and I was in recovery. We both used to be junkies and we were clean. And the dead lady's parents asked us if we would dose the cat before they flew, you know, give it the kitty tranquilizer. Well, they were, yeah. I mean, they had a lot to do. We're happy to help. We said, what can we do to help you? You know, and they're like, well, you could do this. So, you know, I held the cat and he stuck the pill down its throat, which is what you have to do basically.
Yeah. And they didn't like that.
And then he said, and after we did it to each one of them, he said, you know, that's what they used to have to do with me to put me on a plane too.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I have an announcement. So, I was talking all about how great Vantana Row are, this band, Vantana Row, for, you know, half of every set, you know, a segment every show for 8 shows or something. And all of a sudden, I'm not talking about them and I'm not managing them anymore. And I want to explain that a little bit. I don't want to embarrass them, but I want to explain what happened because a lot of people are wondering. So real briefly, Jamie recorded me talking to him on the phone and didn't tell me he did it and then put it on YouTube, first of all, which is, I think, kind of creepy, very creepy, and a gross violation of you know, friendship and privacy.
Right.
So it's also illegal. He should, you know, in California is a 2-party consent state, which means both parties have to consent to be recorded. Wyoming is a 1-party mm-hmm. consent state. So yeah, like he was actually putting a record of a crime on the internet when he did that. I got really upset about that. But other than that, he just he kind of flipped out, man. He's got anger issues and like daddy issues or something, and you know, thinks I'm his dad. I don't know if he thinks I'm his dad, but I was kind of like a father figure to him, I think. And you know, one day he just flipped out bad, and then, you know, wrote me an email an hour later and profusely apologized. And then he'd kind of done that too, like 3 weeks earlier before they went on tour, but it wasn't as severe. And I was like, well, okay, you just need a break. We've been talking a lot and it's, you know, intense. So, you know, give you a break. 3 weeks. I talked to him once in 3 weeks. When they got back, like as soon as I got back, he was just yelling at me. And he also, like, it wasn't really working out for me to manage them. First of all, I was doing it for no money. I was actually losing money to do it. And second of all, he wasn't, like, I'd give him advice that I thought was really sound advice and they'd take it and then he'd change his mind and not take it and like push me to try to convince him again of it, or not push me, just didn't want to hear it. Like there was an example is, he pays $300 a year to use this service called taxi.com, which is where people, It's $300 a year plus I think it's like $5 a song or something. So you know, they'll have a casting call for like a TV show and they don't give the names of the shows. Like, I think it's a scam, but they're like, you know, a TV show needs 2 minutes of ambient music that's upbeat but calm, you know, and then hundreds of people will make some music like that and upload it. And then supposedly the TV shows or whatever will buy that and somebody makes money. But it's a crapshoot at best, and I don't see any proof that it works at worst. I'm not going to say it's a scam, but it's like there's a lot of if you search on Google, taxi.com is one of the autofills is a scam. I mean, enough people have said that it's one of the autofill suggestions on Google. And I told him I thought it was a huge waste of money. I said, I think it's a waste of money and a waste of time, and that's not how people get their things placed in media, you know. And, you know, I said people get it through relationships, you know, and
right.
And I was trying to foster relationships with him and people I knew and, you know, didn't try very hard to hook up with people or whatever. And, you know, when they were down in L.A. and I don't know, it just wasn't working out. It was like I was beating my head against the wall to try to help people that I mean, Volley's great. She's fine. I have no problem with her. But Jamie was just really, really crappy to me. So yeah, I let them go. I released them, and I've talked to her once for a second since, but I haven't talked to them since. So I just wanted that on record that I am not managing them. And I wanted to say that because I kind of think after dealing with him, I'm kind of glad that I didn't hook him up with more people, because I kind of picture that at some point he's going to scream at people, you know? So I don't want to use my few favors I have left with people on that. So I just want to make it clear. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're not still saying I'm managing them, although I think they are. I think they left a tweet up, but I don't know. I wanted on the record that whatever they do, it's got nothing to do with me now. So I wish them well,
right.
But that's it. I wish them healing. Yep. So what do you think of the...
So let's talk about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, about what? I think it's the same thing.
I was going to say, let's talk about this microtonal new kind of music that we're experimenting with.
Well, it's not new. It's new to us, but...
Right.
So, yeah, man. What do you think of it? Before we define what do you think of it?
I love it, and what I realized is that I have loved it for a long time. I just didn't know that it was its own genre. Okay.
Well, it's not really its own genre. It's its own modal type of music, Zen harmonic / microtonal, which are they're two different things, but they overlap a lot. Like the Venn diagram is you know, largely intersecting, but not completely. And it's there's a lot, as with any kind of fringe movement or art or thing, there's a lot of spirited discussion approaching argument on what they actually mean. But microtonal is pretty clear. So microtonal is music that does not use the Western scale necessarily. It's basically anything other than, 12 tone equal temperament, which is everything you hear on the radio is 12 tone equal temperament. All rock, all blues. I mean, jazz sometimes actually ventures a little bit into microtonal. Like there's... So microtonal is basically the notes between the notes on the piano keyboard. And it's there's different ways to do it. Like it's equal temperament, which is dividing the octave up into more or less than 12 notes per octave. And there's, you know, pentatonic scales, and there's just intonation. And then there's stuff that isn't even based on the octave. I tend to really like of all that stuff, and everything I'm doing is equal temperament that's, you know, more or like 5 notes per octave or 20 notes per octave or 21 or 31. And sometimes I'll use more than one in a song, and I'll often use 12 tone and microtonal in the same song or at the same time or in different sections. And it can be surprisingly musical. You know, people would think a lot of people hear this stuff and they can't stand it. They're like, that sounds out of tune to me. But if you listen to it with an open mind for a little while, and I think if you're smart too, I think a lot of people that are into it are smart. You know, I think if you're smart, you're probably more open-minded to different frequencies or something. I don't know. But so microtonal is and Zen harmonic music, and that's Zen with an X, X-E-N harmonic. And that's from the Greek meaning, the two different Greek words, one that means foreign and one that means familiar. So it's foreign and familiar at the same time, which it really kind of is.
Huh.
And, oh, you didn't know that part?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I can't pronounce the two Greek words, but it's like Xenos and Xenos or something. And it's, you know, that's what they mean. So it can be different kinds of music. It's not really a genre. Like there is Zen harmonic, heavy metal, math rock. There's ambient. There's jazz. There's even stuff with singing, which is kind of weird. I haven't even thought about singing yet. And what we're doing, I have not seen anyone do, which really works well, which is putting poetry, spoken poetry over it, because then you don't have to, you know, try to get the notes of the talking of the vocals
right
to fit it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a good singer and I haven't even tried to approach singing Zen harmonically yet. So Zen harmonic, as opposed to microtonal, Zen harmonic is, actually the definition I gave of microtonal is actually Zen harmonic, because microtonal is technically more than 12 notes per octave, like 12, 13, 15, 20, 25. If it's less per octave, it's macrotonal and not microtonal, but Zen harmonic would include micro and macrotonal and some other things. But I've also heard basically that Zen harmonic includes intent. So, I mean, a lot of music around the world that's non-Western is microtonal or macrotonal, like a lot of Asian music, Indian music, sitar music. You know, I've always been into this too, because I remember like my mother had this store called the Oriental Bazaar in Chautauqua, New York. You've been in that store, right? Back in the day?
Yeah, a lot of times. Yep.
She had a little section that was like African percussion and thumb pianos and stuff. And I remember playing that stuff and really digging it. Like I talked at one point about how that guy who played in the Armless Children with us, Doug Brunskill, he and I used to, you know, go play out in the park and we'd go get like, you know, some of the African percussion stuff and play it with our feet. And I really, cool. I really like the thumb pianos, and the thumb pianos are definitely tuned to a non-Western scale. So, but all of that stuff, you know, like to those people, that isn't micro, to those people, that's not microtonal music. That's just music. You know, the same way that like right. in China, Chinese food is not Chinese food. It's just food. So, right. But Zen harmonic is generally Western people making an effort to play in different scales. And a lot of people who do it have a lot of math to it. There's a lot of discussion of math on it, which doesn't really interest me at all. I mean, some of it's a lot of it's beyond me, but it's also like a lot of people spend a lot more time talking about the math than they actually do talking about the music or even playing the music, you know. And I'm all about playing the music, so, and listening to the music. But so the new album, oh, by the way, we have 30 minutes of the new album recorded already.
Wow.
How'd that happen?
I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, but our new album is, I think there's going to have one non-Zen harmonic song on it. The Cleveland one that we wrote before. Right. And maybe I should just add a little bit at the end that's like, you know, remix it and add a little bit in just to make it fit. But that song already sounds weird and it's in, you know,
I like that
Western
song
music
a lot.
Yeah. But
yeah,
the record is going to be called the 8th Biptunia record. We did 7 records in 1 year, in the first year. Amazing. So we're working on the 8th record, and it's called Microtonal Zen Harmonic Cats from Alpha Centauri.
Did you look that up and make sure someone else didn't have that name before?
You're joking, right?
I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Nobody has that name. Nobody. Yeah. We were going to call the last record something about Beat Cats, Beatniks from Alpha Centauri. What was it going to be?
Yeah, that was like the first idea.
Yeah, that one didn't really stick, but it was, what was it called? Disco Cats from Alpha Centauri. No, it was something about
something.
Beatniks.
I don't know.
Beat. Right. Beat Cats. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't like that. It sounds like you're beating cats, you know. But
yeah, this is a better direction for sure.
I think it was Beatnik Cats from Alpha Centauri. I don't like that. I liked it for a minute.
I think it was it wasn't it suggested by somebody that was listening to our stuff, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I'm digging it, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear the new song. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, you haven't heard it. I just finished it. Yep.
Like literally just finished
it. Yeah, yeah. And I've done a lot with, we're doing a lot to improve the technology of BibTunia lately. We can rebuild it. We can make it better, faster, stronger. So let's see, what did I do? My friend Jay, Jay's great. So Jay sent me a care package, and it was a hard drive and a better power supply than the one I have in my computer, and a Windows 7 install disk, you know, actual like licensed copy of Windows. So I have I have two computers. They're both pretty fast. Excuse me. One's very fast. One's pretty fast. So the one that's pretty fast, I wiped, and I'm reinstalling Windows on it, and that's going to be my internet computer. And I ordered another monitor, so I'm going to have a bigger monitor. I ordered a 34-inch monitor, I think, 32 or 34. Wow. And then I'm moving my 28-inch one over to the other computer, which is going to be my internet computer. I'm going to have two monitors next to each other. And one computer is going to be only for internet, and the other computer is going to be only for making media. So, yeah, we've been moving things all around the world to make BibTunia better. So I'm I got a new... My fast computer actually had a problem with the power supply. When I got it, like, I noticed that if I turned it on its side, it shut off. And I Googled it. It was actually like a known issue with that model. And the company was replacing the hard drives free, but I'd just gotten it. I just set it up perfect, and I realized that. And it's, I didn't want to send it back. So I kept it and just never tipped it over. But this thing actually has too small of a power supply. So Jay sent me a bigger, better one. I put it in. It runs better instantly. He sent me another hard drive to hook up to use. This is a trick for doing media stuff like audio or video, is you have a separate hard drive that only has your media, like all your sound files that you're using. And then you have your operating system and your DAW, your digital audio workstation, on your main drive. And then you have, all the media on another drive, and then things run faster. So I did that. I've switched from Cubase 32-bit to Reaper 64-bit. Reaper kicks butt. It's great. Everyone should use it. It's got a little bit of a learning curve, but they all do. I mean, I've been using it for 2 days, and I'm a master with it now. Didn't take me long to figure out the difference between it and Cubase. So using that, and what else am I doing? So I'm also ordering an SSD drive, like a solid-state drive, that I'm going to just put Windows on. So I'm actually going to have three drives on my computer. And if you put Windows on a solid state drive, it boots up in like 10 seconds. And everything works faster. So I'm doing that. And what else did I do? But I'm going to take this computer offline. Like, I'm going to completely only use the other computer for internet stuff. I mean, I guess I'll still have this. Like, I can turn it online if I want to upload something. But, you know, I'm not going to be like surfing Facebook on this computer while I'm editing. I'll surf it on the other computer. But, yep, so that's the plan. And then I also ordered a ribbon mic, because I think we have a little problem with sibilance, both of us, you and I, where we get a lot of like sounds, and then I have to go through and edit them. Right. And it's a lot of extra work. And even it's still like, I can get rid of most of them, but it's like, it's still better if we didn't have to do that. And ribbon mics don't, they de-accentuate sibilance. Boy, I'm losing my voice, aren't I?
Oh, man.
That's okay. So I'll get it back. I don't need it today. So, we're both getting ribbon mics. You're getting a ribbon mic that belonged to me, that I gave to Nima Vidotti, who I co-founded the Freedom Fiends with, and who made the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom with me 7 years ago. And he wasn't using it. The Freedom Fiends and or me actually bought him three microphones, and that was the one that he doesn't use. So we're sending it to you. Mm-hmm. So he sent that to you, and I'm sending you... What else am I sending you? Oh, I got a better digital audio interface, a Behringer. Behringer's been bought out by a new company. They used to be kind of crappy knockoff stuff. Now they're really good knockoff stuff. So I got a better one, and I'm sending you my old one. Sending you my Focusrite Scarlett Solo.
Yeah, so yeah, man. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. We're just moving everything around to make it all better.
Keeps getting better and better every album we learn.
Yep.
Man,
yep.
We'll try different things, figure out what works.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all I got. What do you got in closing?
Yeah.
Tell me another story.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think, man.
Have we ever talked about how we met? I guess it was in an English class, right?
College? We did. Yeah, I think we did, like, probably the first one. I remember doing it. I can't remember which
Well, tell me again.
Which show?
Because we have new listeners all the time.
Yeah, sure. So it was my first experience with college at Jamestown Community College in Sydney. The obligatory, you know, English 101 class everyone had to take. And I discovered in 12th grade that I wanted to be an English teacher. Come from a family of teachers.
I don't think I knew really that. How, I don't think I don't think you ever told me that. Or I was just so self-absorbed, even more so than now, that it didn't register.
Yeah, I hated school, had a rough time in high school, really didn't try. And middle of my 12th grade year, my English teacher had to go on sick leave, was pretty ill, so we had a long-term sub, and she just made English the best thing in my life, man. Poetry, the whole nine yards. So anyway, I was pretty pumped even just to be in that English 101 class. And somehow the first assignment was we had to write a paper about someone that we admired or something. I don't know. And so we ended up having to exchange papers. And it was funny because I think you wrote yours about Pink Floyd and I wrote mine about The Who. I don't know. It was something cool like that right off the bat, right? And so we ended up just kind of talking, and we ended up being in the radio broadcasting class. So I think that was what really started the whole thing.
Yep.
And then we each got our own show, and we'd overlap and just like do weird things, do poetry, original poetry. And
play guitar on the air.
You play music, and that's actually really, if you think about it, it's what we're doing now, man.
Yeah, that's why we started.
You know? We're on the radio. Yeah. And so we started hanging out. We got tight. And I think you had the idea to let's form this band, right? And I was supposed to be the singer. And, man, I can't sing. But I could do poetry. So
yep,
that was kind of my role. And you liked a poem that I wrote called The Armless Children. And that was the name of the band. And it's funny because I talked to my friend Don, who I haven't seen for probably 10, 15 years. And he recited the opening lines of that poem to me. I couldn't believe it. He still remembered it after all these years. But we played some sketchy gigs, and we do some spontaneous stuff, and it just captured the vibe of the times, I think, man. I think we had a lot to say. And then I went off to
Real College.
Fredonia State. Yeah, and that's kind of, we all just, everyone went their separate ways, you know. Yeah. But I mean, I don't ever even remember having an argument. I just always remember it being really intense and cool. Yeah.
Yep.
So here we are. Here we are, man.
Yeah. And so you went off and went to college and became a teacher, and I went off and played in other bands and argued with them, and then went back to you because we don't argue much.
We don't argue. No, nah, we don't much. Argue.
No.
We might not see things the same way, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, but nah. Yeah, I just never remember any bad times.
No, man.
Except I remember you telling me about one bad time. I wasn't at that gig. Wasn't it at some kind of like
Battle of the Bands?
Native American reservation?
No,
or something?
It was in Salamanca on the res. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't the Native Americans were not the problem. It was the crazy white rednecks that lived there. I think there were probably some drunk Indians there too. Can I say that on radio? Yeah, I was opening up for Skip Lunch's punk rock band playing solo electric guitar and singing, which is never welcome anywhere anyway, but this was especially tough gig. It was like, you know, these people wanted to hear a cover band playing like dad rock, like AC/DC or something, and you know, or even Journey or, you know, something more polished. And Skip's band, Amel and the Accidents, with him and his girlfriend.
I remember
Amy,
that.
Yeah. Played, and they were and Bob-O-Matic, the drummer from the band, later played in 10,000 Maniacs, and which he hated the band, but they paid him, so he did it, and he's a good drummer. He died. Do you know about that? He's dead.
No, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Wow, so half the band is gone pretty much.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, who else is gone?
Well, Rob's gone.
Rob Buck. Oh, that band. I thought you meant our band, because half of the Armless Children.
Oh, no,
too.
No.
Because, the one guy was murdered. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Bowles.
Dwayne Bowles. Yep. Yep. Well, I think we're good, man. I think I'm going to go try to get my voice back and make a show out of this. Worms.
Sweet.
Thank you for your service.
Worms, man. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
Hey, I saw your t-shirt from across the room. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. I looked all over for t-shirts with designs and sayings that define my unique taste, and I finally found it.
Who makes them?
Wormshirts.com.
Wormshirts.com?
Yeah, Wormshirts.com.
That's weird. Why'd they call it Wormshirts.com?
Probably because Wormshirts.com is easy to remember. Worm, like the critter that crawls on the ground, and shirts, like what they are, t-shirts.
Wormshirts.com. Cool. Do they make them for women?
Yeah, they have men's, women's, and children's styles, a bunch of colors, and all sizes, and they're quality cotton shirts.
I'll look up Wormshirts.com right now on my phone and check it out. Wow, they have lots of designs. I've never seen any shirts like these.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Hey, let's get out of here. We'll go over to my place and I'll order some shirts on Wormshirts.com. Then when they arrive, I'll try them on for you.
Worms!
That's Wormshirts.com.